Amen. Let's praise God. Drew has been wanting to do that song for about 18 years, I think.
Eight weeks, okay.
Man, it was the right timing. Wow, thank you. Thank you so much to our worship team for leading us in worship this morning. Friends, let's go to God in prayer once more. Oh, our God, this day we too thank you for the victory that you have won through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, God, for all the mighty ways you work good in our world. You bring light into darkness, and you call even us to be a part of that light, a part of that good, a part of your victory over sin and death, over separation and brokenness. Our God, as we look to your word in these moments, you open our hearts to your heart, O God, that we may live in the light in the same way that you are in the light. Amen. Well, friends, you may have noticed that I did a little pre-preaching before I even read the full scripture this morning. I get a hard time for that, but I do that sometimes when I am frankly just overwhelmed by God's great love, and I get really excited about what scripture, this scripture in particular, reveals to us about God and about us. About all that God can do to heal and restore this world when we, the resurrection people of God, live in the light, as our scripture says today. So the entire book, or this entire sermon of 1 John, is so very full of this language of the light and love of God. Again, you'll be hearing those words in the coming weeks. And such language, you know, what it does is it really anchors us, right? It's this beautiful reminder of what God has done to draw near to us. And God has done so through the life, through the suffering, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are not that far from Holy Week and Easter Sunday. And I don't know about you, but when I have read this scripture passage, I am moved and motivated. I am challenged and inspired, because what we find in these first few verses is someone who is sharing about all that God has done in their lives. I think that's what gets me so excited about this opening chapter. It's the witness that we hear, and it's imagining for me that witness being shared again out loud in this early congregation of faith, all gathered up as we are today. You see, right from the start of those first four opening verses of the scripture sermon, there's these very tangible, sensory-filled words announcing what people of faith have seen and heard and experienced. My translation says, all that their hands have handled. I just love how real that is, about the word of life that has been revealed to them. And as this kind of language kind of subtly opens up our own hearts to reflect on how God in Christ has shown up in our own lives in real and tangible ways as well, the witness of the author of this sermon is that the word of life is not for individuals alone. No, the word of life must also be shared. Right? This sermon seeks to share the gospel, good news of what God the Father has done through Jesus the Son, and this good news of forgiveness and resurrection and restoration is shared so that they can have fellowship, not only with God, but with one another as well. And we're jumping right in today, okay, because that word fellowship is really important. In Greek, that word is koinonia. Have you all heard that word before, koinonia? It indicates this very intimate, very vulnerable fellowship or community, a partnership even, among those who share it. And you know the way it's written in the Greek, maybe it's a little bit of a slightly better feel for it, but essentially it's like the author is saying, God has established a community of fellowship with us who believe. It's a partnership, if you will, and God wants you, church, to be a part of that fellowship, to belong to that partnership and that community too. So that right from the beginning of 1 John, we come to see that even as God is the one who has initiated this joyful, restorative fellowship with us as humankind, what is vital to our life as people of resurrection hope is the joyful, restorative fellowship of humankind with one another as well. So to put it more plainly, God invites us into right relationship with God. And God desires for us to be in right relationship with one another as well. And this is what seems to motivate the author of 1 John to reach out and care and in love to this particular community of faith at this particular moment in time as they are struggling mightily in navigating their shared fellowship, their shared life together. Because to be sure, the message of 1 John, right, if we're listening, it's actually quite simple, isn't it? Do you remember he says right there plainly in verse 5, God is light. Say that with me. God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all. That's pretty simple to read, and that's pretty simple to hear. Whether we're in this sanctuary today, worshiping online, out in our cars, or in that gathered community 2,000 years ago, that is a simple message to hear. Yet as we read on, we soon come to realize that the implications of this simple and lovely message invite us quite directly into the very messy, very holy work of honoring all in our congregations, in our communities, and in our world. And I call this messy work because have you seen how we Christians sometimes treat one another? And I call this holy work because, God forgive us, have you seen how we Christians sometimes treat God's beloved children in our world? In verse 7, the early believers are reminded that they are called to live in our own day and time. We are reminded that we are called to live in the same light of God, and that ultimately means that we have true and sincere fellowship. We have vulnerable authenticity. We have humble partnership. We have deep community and trust with one another. Because friends, God has holy work to do in redeeming and restoring the world, and whether we like it or not, as those who are called by God, we are invited to belong to that hard and holy work too. It is hard and it is holy. It is also joyful, right? And you sense the joy in this letter, and we sense the joy in our worship when we've gathered here together on the second Sunday in Easter, mindful that as people of resurrection hope, again, we are looking in this season for every opportunity to live more fully, more intentionally each day into the resurrection hope that we have, that Christ Jesus has won for us. 1 John encourages us to live as children of the light, reminding us that the way that we know we are living in this light is in this, that we humbly confess our sin to God and that we live in true fellowship with one another. Confession and fellowship. We are assured that we are in right relationship with God and that we truly belong to that hard, holy work of redemption and restoration when we are honest with ourselves. Maybe sometimes brutally honest with ourselves, right? We name our shortfalls. We acknowledge our failures. And then we also have that deep, abiding community and intentional koinonia with one another. Because there's no mincing of the words in this scripture, right? In verses 8 through 10, when we hear that if we claim we do not have any sin, we are deceiving ourselves. Step on anybody's toes at all? It sure did mine. If we claim we have never sinned, then we make God and Christ a liar, and that either way, the truth, God's word, is not in us. Those are heavy, hard things to consider, dear ones. The good news, though, is that we, none of us, are perfect, and yet God still calls. God still invites. God still equips us with daily opportunities to live in the light as God is in the light. And you know, that confession, that fierce honesty with ourselves and with one another is absolutely vital in this hard, holy, joyful work of God to redeem and restore the world. And if in the Easter season we are looking for every opportunity to grow in the love we have for God and for God's people, to live more fully each day as the honest and compassionate servants God has created and called us to be, then I think the helpful question for us to ask in all of this is simply, God, what would you have me to be and to do today? What would you have me be and do today? What are those daily opportunities to live more fully for you, God, in the resurrection work to which I belong? And granted, asking God a question like that is pretty dangerous. God may just give you all sorts of opportunities to live into that faith. Yet, friends, if we look to 1 John for some guidance and hope as well, I think we see pretty clearly that confession and fellowship, confession and community are some pretty essential daily practices in the life of faith. Amen? So what if this week, and y'all look out because I'm about to give them some homework, Pastor Sheila, we're going to have to follow up next week. What if this week we challenged ourselves, if we're not already doing it, to wake up each morning and go to bed each night offering a confession of sin before our God? We have some lovely prayers of confession in the United Methodist tradition, yet ultimately confession is simply naming before God what is true and real, right? Naming what we have left done, what we have left undone that may have caused harm. Harm to God, harm to God's world. We name, we confess, we say we are sorry, and we ask God to heal us and make us whole. And then we do the hardest part. We trust that God loves us as much as God in Christ has proven God loves us. And God does change us, and we don't fight it, but we run towards that change, right? And this week, as we maybe live into that challenge to confess each morning and each night, what if we also ask God what we might do to offer our true and full selves to this community of faith? And again, if we're not quite sure what maybe the first step would be, what maybe that might look like, what I want to do this morning is actually close this rather quick sermon message with some advice from Dr. Sandra Durr in her E! News Words of Faith and encouragement. If you received the e-news, then hopefully you've read these already. And if you don't, you need to sign up because there's good stuff that comes in there. She encourages us to bring our best, full, and true selves to God and to one another in this fellowship, this Cokesbury koinonia to which we have the joy to belong. Friends, as we close our sermon time today, I want to leave you with these holy, joy-filled, tangible, and serious words from Dr. Durr so that we can live as children of the light. Here's what she said. She said to me, this is what being a Christian is all about. Bringing our best to God and serving the best we can for God. She says, I cannot end my time at Cokesbury without encouraging you, church, to find your own area of ministry. Where can you serve God at Cokesbury? In every family, she says, some do better than others at cooking, cleaning, organizing, comforting, listening. The list could go on and on. And the church family is no different. We all have a ministry and a calling, and dare I say, a responsibility. And I would say to Sandra, sure, you could call that a responsibility. First John probably tells us to call it a privilege and an honor and a joy to find our place, or even, she says, our places in the life of the church. You could sing in the choir. Of course, she's inviting us to sing in the choir. God always needs more musicians, whether singers or handbell ringers. Maybe your gifts are not musical, but what are you good at? What do you love? You may be a good organizer, or maybe you can serve as a friendly greeter and offer hospitality. Prayer warriors are always needed. Children's volunteers are treasured. Knitting prayer shawls, making phone calls, helping with media tech on Sundays, volunteering in the front office, leading a small group. The list goes on and on and on. Your Cokesbury family here needs you to find your place of ministry, she says. What a high and holy and joyful call that Sandra leaves us with this day, right? An authentic and passionate witness as we reflect on this vocational life of service to God she's celebrated these last 27 years. But friends, in this Easter season, my prayer for us is that we too might ask God to show us how to be what to do each day as people of resurrection hope, confession, and community. May we live in the light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.